Sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. Like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everyone. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And it is really my intention that you get sexier and happier as a result of this show today, because I believe you will find yourself located somewhere in this picture. We're talking about the challenge of the modern day lover. Are you too busy? Are you too stressed? Are you distracted? How can you actually make time to be a lover when so much is going on in your life? I know this has to strike a chord with you because it strikes a chord with me. So we're going to talk today about how practicing Tantra can help you solve this or face the challenge of yourself as a modern day lover. Today, my guest is Julia Tyndall. She's originally British and has been a Tantra and yoga teacher for over 12 years. Julia teaches workshops all over the world, and she brings a lighthearted, playful approach to tantric practice. She's the author of Tantra for the Modern Day Lover, 8 Power Practices for Better Sex. So, Julia, welcome to the show, Sex and Happiness.
Thank you, Lori. I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah, I'm really happy to have you, and this is a really poignant topic here. Well, the challenge of the modern day lover.
Yeah, Lori, it is. I work with a lot of couples. And the most common complaint I hear is, we don't make love. And it's so crazy because, like your show says, sex makes us happy, at least on most occasions. So why is it that if happiness and sex are so connected that we're not making time for sex? And what I hear from so many people, just as you said in your introduction here so beautifully, is that people are just too darn busy, too distracted. They're not making time to be in intimate partnership, even though they say they want to, and both partners love each other. So what the hell is going on here, Lori? This is what I've been looking at recently, and I'm happy to tell you that I have some solutions for people who are feeling this way.
This is good. This is really good news. I just want to insert here that I think it was in 2004, there was a cover of Newsweek magazine that showed two people in bed. One of them had a computer in their lap, and the other one had the remote control in their hand. And they were called DINs, double income, no sex couples.
That's hilarious. But, you know, although we're having a bit of a laugh about that, unfortunately, this is very true for so many couples, compounded, of course, if you have children and you have all the pressures of child rearing. But even other couples who perhaps don't have kids or are older are falling into these routines of preferring the remote control or Facebook to making love. And I'm finding that so many people are just feeling too stressed or too distracted to drop into a loving, intimate space. So what I'd like to offer your listeners right now are some ideas about how we might start that. Would that be okay?
Yeah, I just want to ask the question about intimacy. I mean, how this all came to be. It's like a chicken and egg question before you talk to us about some solutions. Cool. Is it that people got distracted and that it got in the way of intimacy? Or is it that people have issues with intimacy and so they allow themselves to get distracted? I don't know if you can answer that, but that's what's coming up for me.
That's a great point, Lori. And I think it's quite honestly a little bit of both. And obviously, the more we are afraid of deep intimacy, the more it's going to be tempting to be distracted by all our wonderful electronic devices that we play with nowadays. So you're absolutely right. But either way, there's still this basic problem that couples aren't taking time to be with each other. You know, and I particularly just want to address the issue of, say, the working person who comes home from, you know, now it's women and men who go out and work. We come home from a busy day, and as we all know, sex starts in the brain. And we really need some transition time to let go of our work day, let go of all that energy that we've been carrying in our day, and drop into a space where we feel available for intimacy. And that's where the tantric practice of the power of ritual comes in. And I mean, that sounds kind of complex and out there, and I want to tell you that I am so into making things practical and easy for people, because otherwise I know I wouldn't do it. And so I'm going to just lay out some real basic things here that can help people. And the first thing is, go and take a shower. I mean, it sounds so simple, but when we take a shower, we shower off the energy of the day. We then change our clothes. We put on something that we can breathe and move in. We can start to relax more. We can start to open. And even that simple, simple ritual of washing the body, washing off the day, maybe taking the time as we wash the body to appreciate the body, touch maybe parts of the body that feel good and yummy, and get us into the mood already for, you know, maybe it would be nice to connect with my partner tonight. So that's just the very first, most simple thing, is just have a shower, appreciate yourself, and change your clothes.
That's so beautiful. And that, I mean, there's nothing difficult about that, and there's no, it's not expensive to do that.
Well, it's not, but it makes the hugest difference. And I see a lot of people who are lazy about that and don't do it. You know, you can't be expected to suddenly switch on your lover, boy and girl persona when you've just come from a business meeting. You just can't do that. So you need this transition time. I mean, there's lots of other ways to make the transition. You know, that you could also, some people like to smudge, you know, with a Native American smudge stick and clear energy that way. That's a possibility. Mm-hmm. Some people are more verbal, and they like to say release statements like, I release my anger, I release my frustration, I release my negativity, and then I put into myself love and passion and spontaneity. You could make a few affirmations like that. That's a good thing, too, if you're the kind of person for whom that works. But my whole thing is keep it simple, stupid, because if we don't keep it simple, we're not going to do it. Most of us are busy, and we're also a bit lazy, so we've got to do something easy.
I think it's great because it is so simple. I want to ask, though, is this something like someone would take a shower and then they would first have a conversation with their partner about whether they want to make love tonight?
Right.
Or would you suggest that people set a time and make a date ahead of time so that they know that there's a date night or an intimacy night?
Absolutely, Laurie. That was what I was about to get to. Making a date. I mean, it sounds so crazy with a couple who've been living together for a long time, maybe, to make a date. But, you know, even the other day I had a friend of mine visiting, and he said, I go to bed at 9:30 at night, and my wife is a night owl, goes to bed at 1:30 a.m. They don't have sex. I mean, I said, you need to make a date with your wife. I mean, it could be in the afternoon, maybe you put the child in childcare, but you need to make a date, or you're never going to make love. And we all know that when we don't make love, we lose. I mean, making love is the glue that binds us together. We need that glue in the loving relationship. So it's so important to make that date, make that time, and be committed to it. Don't let anything else distract you from that date.
Well, now I have something to say about that, because in a couple of past relationships when I attempted to do that with my partner, my partner said that would ruin the spontaneity.
I know. Isn't that so funny? That's what a lot of people say. Oh, what happened to spontaneity? Well, also, if you haven't been spontaneous in your sex life for, let's say, the past month or maybe 3 months or longer even, it's time to make a date. If you can be a spontaneous couple and just get it on in the kitchen, the garden, the living room, whenever, maybe you don't need what I'm talking about right now. Just get on and do it. But let's face it, a lot of the time that just doesn't happen.
Absolutely. I actually don't believe people when they tell me anyway.
No. I mean, when we first meet someone and it's all juicy, sure, that's fine. But we're really, addressing couples who have been together for a while and things have got a bit stale, and they've got to start making an effort. As we all know, we have to work at intimacy. And I also want to address the working woman in particular, because I think it's a real issue in our society. A lot of women are out there in the world in a very masculine energy, and then they're expected to come back into the relationship and suddenly switch into their feminine. And that is challenging for so many women. So it's particularly important for the woman to start, when she's about to make that transition and shift into an intimate time, to get in touch with her feminine side. And for me, the way I like to do it, I like to put on some nice sexy music and my nice goddessy clothes, and I sway my hips around the house. Even if I'm doing the dishes, I'm kind of in that flowing mode. And I want to feel my feminine radiate love, radiate openness, so that when my man walks in the door, he walks into that beautiful embrace of the open, receptive energy of the feminine, and he doesn't walk into the bam bam hardcore business energy that maybe I was having to run all day because I have my own business.
You know, I think that's such an important point. Part of the big problem I think these days in our world is that women have become more like men.
Yes.
And it confuses men.
Yes.
Because they don't know how to be men with women who are men.
Exactly. Well, the two polar magnets, they will repel each other.
Exactly. So this is very good. And again, you're giving really simple suggestions that it doesn't cost money to go home, change into a goddess outfit, change into lingerie, change into something that makes you, as a woman, feel sexy.
Right.
Whether you're with someone or you're not with someone, it's a super idea to switch into the other polarity.
Exactly. It's ultra, ultra important. And then to also, for the women, to step into that sense of wanting to receive from the man, a receptive role. I mean, it's the opposite of being in control, which so many of us are all day. And the man, on the other hand, needs to step up a little bit and recognize that his woman is in her feminine, and he needs to take charge and be in his masculine, which means he needs to come to her very, very present, very, very in his own power, grounded, not wishy-washy at all. And when he senses that it might be time to just, you know, take her hand and guide her to the couch for a makeout session or into the bedroom for some more, he needs to step up and deliver that and show her that he wants her and not be namby-pamby about this. I see namby-pamby men, Laurie. And they're not in their male power, and women crave this. We want the guy to want us.
Yes, it's so true. Well, we're going to stop here in this moment. Wanting the man to want us is just a great place to take a break. And when we come back, we'll pick up with that again, because I know there's more to say on this particular subject. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. I'm talking today with Julia Tyndall, and in the next segment, we're going to find out more of Julia's tips and how you can get in touch with her. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned. Hey, do you want to deepen your intimacy while being on the perfect vacation? I'm talking about an all-inclusive vacation with a nude beach, a prude beach, and an exceptional nightlife and plenty of entertainment. And there's so much more. In really fun classes every day, I will take you deeper and deeper into couples sensuality, into intimacy, and enhanced communication as the week progresses. I also will offer private or semi-private sessions by appointment. I'll offer sessions in sex magic, G-spot stimulation, female ejaculation, and men's ejaculation choice. These are all topics that can be covered. When? October 9th to the 16th. Where? Hedonism 2 Resort in Negril, Jamaica. For more information or to book your room, call 800-285-0853. That's 800-285-0853. Please book now. I can't wait to be with you in Jamaica. my question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra is safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show. We're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, and I'm speaking today with Julia Tyndall. And Julia has just given us some really sweet ways of staying connected, of being intimate right away, like for busy, busy career people, for high-power people who have high-power jobs or are self-employed or have stress or are distracted, whatever, all the things that you could find to keep you away from intimacy and your sexuality. Julia's addressing those in a very straightforward and simple way. So, Julia, when we left off the last segment, we were talking about men being assertive.
Yeah.
Men being in their own power, in the male polarity, and taking some kind of charge.
Absolutely. And the other part of that is for the man to be admiring of the woman. The man wants to open his woman with his words. And so this gets me onto the next piece I'd like to share with your listeners that is so important for helping us drop into intimacy quickly, even if perhaps we're not feeling it right off the bat. And that is the power of appreciation. I'll give you a little example. The other day, my man came in, and he was kind of in a bad mood. And I, on the other hand, was feeling kind of frisky. And I could just see that there was no way we were really connecting. And I thought, what can I do to get into an intimate space with him where he's going to want to connect deeper with me rather than just switch the television or a video on or something? So I sat on the couch with him, and I just said, could I please take a moment? Could you just hear me out? There's just some things I really want to share with you. And he looked at me like, oh, gosh, what? And I just started giving him all the appreciation that I could think of about how much he does for me and how much all the things I love about him. And I just watched his bad mood melt, and he just opened, and he got all loving with me, and of course, eventually, I got what I wanted because we got into that sweet, intimate space. And this is really important, and it's particularly important for men to do this with their women, not just women with their men. Sometimes we forget. In fact, we particularly forget if we've been with someone a long time to appreciate our partner. And that is absolutely number one beginning thing that will open us up, is to hear those appreciations.
I love it. I love your advice. I mean, it's so simple and so good, and it's not difficult. You're really showing people how they can connect and how they can be magnetized.
Well, absolutely. I think it's a matter of getting back to basics. So we mentioned earlier how things, when we first meet somebody, everything's spontaneous, we're all hot and sexy and juicy, but that tends to fade as we spend more time with somebody. So how can we recreate those wonderful, juicy feelings of when we first meet? And I actually think there's a great power to getting back to how we started with somebody. Maybe you have a favorite song that reminds you of when you first met, so put that song on. Music is important. Maybe you like to dance, slow dance together. Do it in your living room. Why not? and then go to your couch and make out. The joy of kissing so often gets forgotten and lost as we go through our intimate life. I know there's a tendency that I've found in my love life that we want to go straight to sex sometimes, and we miss out on all that wonderful, juicy kissing and stroking and touching. That, you know, you remember when we were teenagers, we did this. We could do it for hours.
Hours and hours.
Yes.
And it seems like it's a lost art now.
Well, I know, but why can't we spend time rediscovering this? I mean, I even had a wonderful couple I was working with who were having problems with kissing, and they decided to do a whole exploration of their kissing and talk about what they liked best and what they didn't like until they could discover that kiss that would just make the knees tremble and the groins light up with passion. And it took them a while, but then they found what they called their signature kiss. And now they just want to kiss all the time. They've been together 28 years, but now they're just like little teenagers enjoying that feeling of making out together and kissing each other because they had forgotten it. And you're right, it is a lost art. But gosh, don't we love a great kiss, Laurie?
Well, let's just say this. One of my friends put it this way. If a man isn't a great kisser, he isn't worth going to bed with.
Well, it certainly can be a sign of things to come, that's for sure. But you know, we as women, we want to be able to connect with our man that way. Our hormones start shifting and changing once the mouths connect. Energies merge. You know, it's just a basic thing. So I'm really wanting couples to hear this and start exploring with their kissing again. Even if they haven't kissed their partner more than just a goodnight peck on the cheek for years, make a date to have a kissing session. And maybe he kisses the woman and the woman kisses the man and you kiss each other and you do tongue and you don't do tongue. I mean, have fun with it. Be playful and give feedback. Don't you think that sounds super great?
It sounds super great, and it really is important. I like the idea of like taking some space to be sensual, not necessarily having full-on sex, but just having a sensual sexual experience with the mouth.
Exactly. I think it's
really important.
Yeah.
Now, you have some ideas about games and things as well. I mean, do you have something else? Do you have some other starters? And then you want to talk about a game that people can play, or
yeah,
I'm not sure.
One of my favorite games that I like to give couples is what I call the master and servant game. And it's really important because in the master and servant game, we learn how to give and we learn how to receive. It helps us discover what gives us pleasure and how to ask for it. And so what this game is, it's very simple. You make a date again, and on your first date, one of you is the master and one of you is the servant. And so the master gets to ask for what he or she wants and the servant gets to comply. And I suggest that the first time you do this, you do it without sexuality. You just keep it sensual. Have your hair brushed, your toes sucked, your foot rubbed, be kissed, you know, shoulders caressed. I mean, whatever it is. But just explore your pleasure with your partner in a way where you practice asking for what you want, and your partner practices giving in a way that they can keep saying, is this what you want? And you can get feedback from them. And the setup is such that you can't really get it wrong because it's just a game and you're experimenting. But actually, you're going to learn so much about your partner's pleasure points by playing this game. So the idea is you do that the first night, one person giving, one person receiving, and then you switch, keeping it sensual as well. Now, by that time, you should have built a lot of playful sexual energy. And it's great to build a charge of energy, as we know, because then when we do get sexual, we tend to have a much better time in bed. So then maybe make another date to explore this further master-servant game. But this time, you can take it into the sexual arena and have a tremendous amount of fun with this. Be super playful. You could even dress up. Somebody could put the crown on like a king or something. And you know, really let this be a way to explore your partner in a new way. And for the person who's receiving, and this is actually really important for men. I often hear men say that they feel they give all the time and they don't receive enough. Men need to just really relax and let their women give to them without needing to reciprocate. That's a wonderful gift we give them.
Sure. Now, here's the thing about this whole game thing, is that I have met with and coached and counseled many people who say they won't tell their partner what they really, really want. They're embarrassed to tell their partner. They're afraid to be judged.
Yeah. Well, I know. And so when you put it into the context of a game, it makes it easier for you to ask for what you want because you've already set it up that this is a game, it's an experiment. You know, we're just, and you can even say to your partner, I might ask you for things that we've never done before because I'm really seeing this as a wonderful opportunity for me to have a little bit of fantasy expressed. And of course, it's always with the idea that if the servant finds something absolutely repulsive or they just can't do it, that they have the right to say, no, look, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Can you give me another job? Of course, that has to be part of it as well to keep it safe for everybody. But I think that it's a great opportunity to push the envelope out a little bit and play in arenas that you've never played before.
Well, certainly what you're talking about is going to keep it a little bit more edgy, a little bit more spontaneous, even though what we discussed in the earlier segment is you're making a date, which some people object to because they think it robs the spontaneity, but you're actually suggesting things that increase the spontaneity once you're in the mode, once you're in the structure.
Exactly. The important thing is to make the time for intimacy. If we don't make the time for intimacy, intimacy doesn't make the time for us, and it just definitely includes us. So
true.
For sex, we've got to just put it in our calendar and make that happen. And I'm just suggesting different ways to play within the time that you have with your partner. And I think, to me, playfulness is what keeps us alive. Playfulness is what keeps us juicy with our partner and getting out of the routines that so many of us just end up in.
Well, it's so good. Tell us, how can people find your book and the name again?
Thank you, Laurie. I've written a lot about all these kinds of things in Tantra for the Modern Day Lover, 8 Power Practices for Better Sex. And my book is available on Amazon.com. So you can either just search my name, which is Julia Tindall, spelled T-I-N for Nancy, D-A-L-L, or you can just search Tantra for the Modern Day Lover, and it will pop right up on Amazon. You can get it either on Kindle, download it, or order the hard copy. So I would very much encourage people to look at my 8 power practices. As I've spoken today, you can tell I keep things simple and easy. There's a lot more in the book that you can use once you're with your partner. But all in all, there's some really awesome suggestions for amping up your sexuality, your sensuality, and having more fun with your partner.
Julia, this is great. Really great stuff. I really want to thank you for putting this together. It sounds like it's a very practical, no-nonsense book that people can put to use immediately because it doesn't involve being a millionaire. It involves being a regular person.
Absolutely, Laurie. It's just for the regular average Joe like me. You know, I'm a very average person here. And I just do things that I would do, that I have found work for me. Nothing ridiculously esoteric, nothing complex. Everything is easy that anybody can do. And plus, it's fun and easy, an easy read and lots of great stories in it. And I think you'd get a good laugh from it, too. There's some fun and funny things in it.
Well, thank you, Julia. In the last moment that we have together, perhaps you want to tell people about a special training that you have coming up.
Yeah, I would love to do that. First of all, my brand new website is souldivingacademy.com. And it's all one word, S-O-U-L for soul, souldivingacademy.com. Check it out. And if you want to sign up on my email list, you'll be hearing about all my trainings and workshops. And I do trainings all around the world for Tantra, and one I have coming up in the Bay Area is going to be at the end of February 2014. I'm actually going to be offering a Tantra teacher training over 2 long weekend periods. So if anyone's interested in that, by all means, please do contact me, and we can get you on board.
All right, that's great, Julia. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today on Sex and Happiness. I feel that you gave people a lot of takeaway. And I'm hoping that they just, like a word to the wise, that everybody just soaked that up and they're going to start practicing tonight.
Oh, I do hope so, Laurie. Even if just one or two people do some of the things that we've offered, we will feel like we've had a great talk today, right?
That's true. That's really true. Well, thank you again. This is Laurie Handlers with Sex and Happiness. Please stay tuned. I have another guest coming up who's written a book called Becoming a Remarkable Lover. So stay tuned.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life? Get the best from relationships? Attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Lori Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
Wow, sex magic. Lori Handler's sex magic.
The
course.
Workshop is really, really amazing. And we were able to create and generate this intense energy in a space of safety and love and abundance. And the magic really happens when she is free to
it
let go.
That's
pretty
cool. That shouldn't be called sex magic. It should be called sex
miracle. That she's the strongest facilitator that I've had the experience with, and there was not a moment when I didn't feel safe or not supported. She was with us individually and as a group the entire time, so that allowed me to go deeper than I've ever had.
Where my lover got to come and orgasm over and over and over again. She was loud as anything, and she was like a wild animal, untamed and free.
It just will bring you into such deeper places within yourself so that you're able to share with your partner.
Sex magic. I'm still feeling it. It was beautiful.
The next Sex Magic course is November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona.
What an amazing course, if I say so myself. But of course, you've just heard the testimonies. For more information, go to butterflyworkshops.com, click on workshops, and find out more about sex magic. It's magical.
Well, we are back with Sex and Happiness, and after that amazing conversation with Julia Tyndall about people making and finding the time to become great lovers again, I'm really excited about this next topic, which is very, very related. We're going to be talking about becoming a remarkable lover. That's right. My guest's name is Drew Gerald, and he's a transformational coach and author of his forthcoming book, Become a Remarkable Lover. He helps to empower people through sexual liberation and teaches profound principles based on his concept of holistic sex. And he says that holistic sex includes polarity, dirty talk, fantasies and taboos, and spirituality. So, Drew, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, and I love that you're writing a book on becoming a remarkable lover. And before I ask you, you know, how you got into that, there's a couple things that we need to talk about in terms of holistic sex. So, really, what do you mean by that? It includes, like, everything. There's nothing is taboo in the way of your coaching.
Close, yes. I like to describe holistic sex as an approach to sex and sexuality that is inclusive, empowering, positive, ecological, and congruent, that happens on all four levels of your being, which is the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual levels. So essentially, yes, you know, the idea is that we want to include ideas rather than exclude them and say, oh, that's wrong, that's bad, let's, you know, shun that. So essentially what you said is pretty spot on.
Okay, good. Yeah, so because, well, I guess I just want to say when people are turned on, they turn on to different things.
Right.
I mean, my turn on might be completely different from your turn on, and therein lies the rub. Like, how do we bridge the gap. And so it means that people have to share with each other and turn each other on in the ways they like to be turned on. And for some people, that's a huge question mark. Like, I could never do that. And then there's other people who they just say, yeah, I want to make love. I love this person or I love these people and I'll do for them whatever they want. I imagine that must be how it is to become a remarkable lover, no?
Yes, plus a lot of work.
Right. So we're going to talk about that. Well, there were some things that I said also, like including polarity. Does that mean like including the ultra feminine and the ultra masculine polarity? Tell me a little bit about that.
Exactly. Yeah. Sexual polarity is really one of the core principles of holistic sex, the polarization between the masculine and feminine energies. And of course, you know, that can happen between whatever gender configuration. But what I've discovered is that if you don't have sexual polarity, which is the idea of opposites attract, and you only have rapport, which is the idea of like attracts like, the relationship is going to be platonic. I mean, it can be a fantastic relationship and you can connect on very deep levels, but if you don't have the polarity, that sexual, fiery, passionate attraction on that level isn't really possible.
Sure, I understand. That's why people sometimes have affairs. They're married to or in love with and living with their best friend, somebody they would never give up, but they need to have more polarity.
Yeah.
I mean, that's only one way of explaining
sure.
it. But I understand that. So if you were coaching someone, you would find out what's going on with them, and then you might encourage any of these things, dirty talk, fantasies, taboos, spirituality, or you would ask them. For example, I'll just give an example. I have a long-term student friend who often tells me his fantasies just because he doesn't tell them to anyone else. And I went somewhere with him and I set him up to have the fantasy that he wanted with a couple of people who happened to be where we were.
You're such a great friend.
And he couldn't even make eye contact with them.
Yeah.
Like he never went there. 'Cause I got there first and I thought, wow, my friend is coming and I know this is his fantasy. And two women said, yeah, we'll do it. And then he was so nervous
yeah.
around them. He couldn't even. So I'm just telling you that, like, what would you do with a guy like that?
Yeah, definitely. That's sort of along the lines of, you know, what we call a good problem to have, right? You know, that you're getting set up with fantasies, but the problem in it is that you can't step into it. So, I mean, it would take, and this would be a lot of, you know, I just intuit and sort of figure out where he's coming from. But really, it comes down to what's going on inside, right? So actually, I have four volumes to my book, and the third is called Fantasies and Taboos. And I originally wrote that one. That was the first one I started to write. But what I realized is that for men to guide women through these fantasies and even for them to explore these fantasies and taboos, they had to be a certain quality of a man, a certain quality of character. And so the first book is fundamentals. So bringing that back to the client, I would say that there's a lot of stuff that we would have to look at inside of him. What's his self-esteem? What's his confidence? Does he love himself? Does he feel worthy of a fantasy? Does he feel congruent with acting out a fantasy in real life? You know, because there's a difference between the safety of your own mind where everything's okay and the real world where it becomes true and you have judgments and you have all of that sort of stuff that comes up. So I would go deep. The coaching that I do is very deep and transformational. So we just go to the core and really it would be nothing about the fantasies. You know, it would be about his self-love, his confidence. Is he comfortable with himself? Tackle that first and then dive deep down to the deepest thing and sort of work our way up to the more surface level things and expose that.
So really, how does one become a remarkable lover? Obviously, it starts with diving deep into self-love and comfort within oneself, etc. And then what?
Well, the way that I like to teach it and I like to share is that it requires five different levels. So a lot of teachings only focus on one or two of the levels. And by that, I mean they say only focus on the mindsets or the techniques, right? So it's called become a remarkable lover in the sense that it's not learn how to act like a remarkable lover, learn how to think like one, learn how to do that. It's actually become and embody it. So there are five depths of change. The deepest up to sort of the shallowest goes identity, values, beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors. So I would say that in order to become a remarkable lover, you need to start on the identity level where think about this. You had somebody that was a millionaire and somebody who just made $1 million. There's a huge difference between somebody who is a millionaire and somebody who just made $1 million. There's a complete difference in their identity, their values, their beliefs, attitudes, and how they behave with the money. When it comes to being a remarkable lover, it's really important to get rid of some of the disempowering identities like I'm an unlovable person, or I'm a selfish lover, or I'm just horrible in bed. And all of those are the core at the identity. Then we work up and we say, all right, what sort of values does a remarkable lover have? You know, what does he value? Things like love, respect, pleasure, connection, those are the values that he has and judges everything through them. Then we address the beliefs, right? So what are disempowering versus empowering beliefs?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when it comes to sex, certain beliefs about, oh, this act is good and this act is bad, or I believe that I don't deserve love, or I believe all men are assholes, or all women are gold diggers. These are beliefs that filter through our sexuality. And then that comes up to the attitudes, you know, how we view things, and then up to the behaviors, you know, what we actually do. So a lot of people like to address sex from the behavior position. What sex positions can I learn to spice things up? What techniques can I do to go down on my partner? And those are, of course, very important. Those are the direct manifestations of great love. But that's
not the place to start.
Exactly. That's not going to have profound change. You know, if you make a change at that level, it's only going to be there. But if you make it a change at the identity level, at the core of who you are, that's going to trickle down and affect all of that stuff. You know, if your identity is I am a remarkable lover, you're not going to have beliefs and values that revolve around a contradictory identity. So that's really my approach, that it just builds up, tears down, and tackles it on all levels possible.
Yeah, it sounds like you're really into congruency. You can't be this if you believe something else about it. Well, I guess if you have enough wine or vodka or whatever, you can, but I get it. You're looking at the congruency in this. All right, this is good. Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I'm going to ask you some more questions about this. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, and today I'm interviewing Drew Gerald, and he's telling us about becoming a remarkable lover and the difference between play acting as a lover or starting with things that are surface versus going down into the core of your being and finding that you can become a remarkable lover. So please stay tuned. Drew and I will be right back.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, She creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Han today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Han CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
For weeks now, you've been hearing me talk about the Erotikos Film Festival and my film Beyond Dinner winning the award for the best short film. And you've been hearing me talk to all these guests that I met while I was there. And you haven't heard that much about the dinner, although in the show I did with Dr. Ava and Nancy Sutton Pierce, we did talk about what was in my film. I want to let you know that the film is about a ritual dinner that I invented called the Gate Dinner. Gate means beyond in Sanskrit. And it's a very sensual 8-course dinner that starts with the forbidden, starts with dessert, and leads its way back around to other foods. But all the foods in the dinner are very, very sensual, very beautifully prepared, and the presentation is amazing. And in this dinner, aside from everybody projecting themselves through a meditation that I do to their highest self, having had boundary exercises prior, the men rotate around the table and they feed various goddesses, all the goddesses that are around the table. And even if you come there with a partner, the partner lets go, doesn't take things so personally, lets the partner rotate around and have a sensual experience with each person that's participating. In this case, it would be men having a sensual experience with different women and then working their way back to their original partner. If this piques your curiosity and interest, I want to let you know that these dinners are now available to you wherever you are in the United States. And what you need is 20 people who would like to participate, and you can get in touch with me at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com if you'd like to host a dinner like this in your part of the world. I would love to come to your and offer one of these dinners to you and your friends, and I know my chef would love to come too. Also, Antonio Tiggs, who you've heard on the show as well, would love to come and paint your servers, so your servers are all gold or all silver or what have you. So we have a little entourage that would like to come and make this such a memorable event for you. Please get in touch with me if you'd like to hear more about it and talk about the details. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com.
We're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Lori Handlers, and I'm interviewing Drew Gerald today, who has a forthcoming book called Become a Remarkable Lover, and he helps to empower people through sexual liberation, and he teaches people, it sounds like, really profound change principles based on what he calls holistic sex. Now, Drew, I have to ask this. You know, I think this is about myself a lot, and I wouldn't ask you anything. I wouldn't ask myself, which is, they say we teach the best what we need to learn. So are you somebody who set about, like you set your course on becoming a remarkable lover?
Essentially, yes.
Are you smiling?
Essentially, yes.
How did you get set on this course? Like, how did you say, oh, this is going to be my trajectory from now on?
Right. Thank you for asking. It's been a journey for sure. You know, I didn't, of course, getting into this, I didn't set out and say in those terms, you know what, now moving forward, this is what I'm going to be doing for the next 7 years of my life. But just, you know, long story short, when I was growing up, since I was about six until I was about 17 or 18, I was a complete loser, you know, through school. I was bullied, made fun of, teased, sat alone in lunch. People threw food at me, tripped me, you know, so my tray would spill food all over me.
Oh.
And, you know, it was just devastating to my self-esteem, my confidence, my social popularity in school and everything. I grew up in a small town, so I was with the same people for that entire time. And when this started when I was six, it was really when, you know, your self-esteem, your identity, who you are, your confidence, your interacting with other people, your social skills, that's like when it's prime, that's when it's all forming. And so for me,
sure,
yeah, so for me it was just completely not happening on that level. And you know, when I got to about 17 years old, of course, being a teenager, male teenager, what is on my mind, you know, girls and sex and all of that stuff. And I had no success at all till I got into my later teenager years. You know, just a little stuff here and there, no girlfriends, maybe a blowjob or making out just once randomly by the luck of some divine intervention.
Uh-huh. Or that wine or that vodka that I was talking about earlier.
Well, if I was a few years older, then that would have definitely been the case. And yeah, so basically when I got to that age, you know, after being depressed and thoughts of suicide, luckily I didn't act out or anything.
Yeah.
But it was devastating. And so I give the analogy like this. If you think of like a water heater and there's the pilot light, right? So it's that light that's just really small that keeps it going. That's what I felt inside. There was that little pilot light inside of me said, Drew, you aren't this loser that everybody thinks you are. Like this can't possibly be your destiny to be this depressed, this lonely, this miserable, this horrible with women, this having no friends. So I really made that decision and followed that idea. And so, you know, I moved to California after that, 3,000 miles away, and started a new life. And I thought that would change everything. But what I found out is that not much changed. You know, I was in a better environment with new people, but I realized that there was part of me that needed some work, you know, because I kept creating the same experiences, or lack of experiences, really. So yeah, so when that happened, I started taking trainings and got into personal development and, you know, learned social skills. I started a business. I became an entrepreneur, and I just dove right in to personal development and success on all levels. And so that's really what started it. And the shifting point, the turning point, was when I went from being a victim to a creator of my life. From going
right on. So good. Yeah. So good.
So
beautiful. What a great story. What a great turnaround story. Really wonderful to hear all that.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know you personally, but I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. It's exciting. And thanks for sharing that honest truth about that. It gives people hope. Also, I wanted to say this. I don't know if you've probably not seen it, but I think I have a video on YouTube which talks about really smart men being attracted to Tantra anyway. And my people often say it seems like a lot of very smart but sort of nerdy men are attracted to Tantra. My response to that is, well, you can learn how to make love, but can you learn how to play football? Like, if you're not if you're not destined to be a football player, if you're not that size or you're not that whatever, you know, you figure it out. People can figure out how to make themselves great lovers, or they can take lessons, or they can take transformation in all its forms. And the smart person does that, and the other person just kind of relies on what they came with.
Yeah, you know, it's the whole idea of this is my lot in life, the cards I was dealt, and yeah, to an extent, you have to work with what you got, but I believe that everybody came unlimited. And of course, I didn't always believe that, you know, when I was a victim,
sure.
I didn't, but that's one of the things I learned is that if you want something bad enough, you're going to freaking figure out how to do it. And if you're not willing to do it, then you're not going to create it in your life.
Yeah, it's great. Great stuff. Really great stuff. So I'm assuming, just based on all that, that you have become a remarkable lover. That from all your transformations of becoming an entrepreneur and becoming a great person and becoming a person who influences people and has friends and changed your life 180 degrees, that too, that you've become a great lover.
Yeah, you know, I think along with that, it's always an expanding journey. So part of becoming a remarkable lover, one of the qualities is the beginner's mindset and the desire to keep learning, to keep growing. So in that respect, yeah, you know, no one's ever going to be the best lover for everybody at all times. But I can say that I have tremendously improved my skills and the sex I have. It's you wouldn't believe it unless, you know, you couldn't make it up kind of thing. So
I like that. I like that. It sounds like this should be a movie, I just want to say.
Yeah. If anybody's listening.
So what would you say if we were giving people a takeaway, besides the fact that they need to find out about you and come see you, which we'll give them a way to do that in a moment, but also if you were to give someone a takeaway, like a tip for how they could start to become a remarkable lover, like a quick tip. I mean, I know that they have to go through transformation and stuff,
yeah.
But to me, I guess I'm thinking of listening, you know, like sharpening listening skills. To me, that's an amazing one, but that's my opinion. I want to know what your opinion is. Say somebody can't see you.
Right.
What would you say to them to start?
Definitely.
To get started.
Definitely. I think, you know, like you said, there's just so much, but I think a really good place are three sort of approaches, three sort of mindsets. The first being curiosity. Become curious about sex. Become curious about yourself. And most importantly, during sex, become curious about your partner. Actually want to learn how women work, learn how men work, and just allow that curiosity to kill the comfort zone cat, if you will. And the next being desire. Have a desire to learn. Have a desire to improve. Have a desire to actually satisfy your partner. Have a desire and do something about it and follow that desire wherever it leads you. And the last, as far as a practical tip, is presence. Mm-hmm. Being present, being in your body, is absolutely amazing. Oftentimes we hear these sort of superficial tips and techniques to, you know, think about sports data and all this stuff, you know, to last longer or whatever, but you are doing a complete disservice to your partner. You know, even for flip it around for women, if they're thinking about other responsibilities in the day or...
No, they think about shopping.
shoes. the presence, your presence, especially as the masculine to the feminine, is such a gift. When you can be fully present, when you can be there, when you can be sensual, when you can feel through all of your senses and really show up and give everything to that moment, that's going to change everything.
So is your book geared for everybody, or is it more geared for men, would you say?
Yeah, so it's definitely written for men. However, as of this point, there are a lot more women signed up to learn about it. Because these ideas, of course, what I teach is how to make women feel absolutely phenomenal. So I'm writing it for men, but it's definitely something that I've found women, you know, respond to as well. Because I talk about feminine. I talk about things that will give females insights to their own sexuality and desires. So,
well, you know, women are more consumers than men are, and women have a lot of influence. So lots of women can buy your book and give it to the men in their lives. So it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing at all. And women love the fact that you have heard them and that you can talk to the men in their lives from a man's point of view. So it's a win-win situation no matter how you look at it.
Yeah, I think so.
So how do people get in touch with you? What's your website?
You can go to remarkablelover.com. Pretty simple. There's a few sign-up forms just to get information. You know, nothing weird or crazy, but, you know, when you want to find out when it's released, I'll let you know. Besides that, that's going to be a full paperback book. That's the real deal. And until then, I'm also working on an audio course called Holistic Sex, which is for both men and women. And that's an audio course that should be out by October 2013. That should be out. So just go to remarkablelover.com and you'll find all of that good stuff.
Well, Drew, Gerald, it has been my pleasure to interview you, especially because you've been so authentic and real. And I feel like that's the basis of your gift. You know, you're smart, too. And it's wonderful to have somebody who's so authentic and real, not somebody who's a superstar from the beginning, but somebody who created themselves into a superstar. So it's really been my pleasure to interview you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. It's been my pleasure to share that with you.
It's great. Well, everybody, this is Lori Handlers, and I'll be back with you next time with a very controversial guest who's written a book called It Really Is That Complicated. And it's a book that he wrote about how women are in relationship to men. Oh, you don't want to miss that. So tune in next time.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to know.